And don't know whether I was married to a wife or a Hell Session dog. But I do sympathise with her, as I apologise. A couple of little things to start off before we open the word. I might have missed it. Did somebody wish Raj a happy birthday?
For tomorrow.
Thank you, Ray.
We will later anyway. And we also need to keep praying for Tita, and she's had, her sister is really ill, so special welcome to everybody that's online, and so a special welcome to you, and special welcome to our guests here this morning. All right, Acts, chapter 18. Just a little sort of a request before we open that word. You'll find in this part of scripture a number of people mentioned. And I reckon it would be good if you could just keep thinking that each of these people that are mentioned, what was their reason for doing what they did? What was the result of doing what they did? And how can their actions be a lesson for us, be an example for us? So we have a number of people. We had Paul a couple of times, and Apollos, and Aquila, and Priscilla. So just that's a way of thinking as we go through, and especially for those of us that meet on a Wednesday online, we can use that for some discussion. Well, our reading goes over two chapters that are intimately connected, both of those chapters. You'll notice in verse 23, we have the beginning of Paul's third missionary journey. We've been going through his missionary journeys, and most of us have had a little map so we can keep check of where he is and where he's going. But of course, this is the third trip, and it's not highlighted on that chart. Paul, after his second journey, had gone back to Antioch, and he spent some time there, but eventually he started out again, and the initial stages of that third journey are the same as his second journey, heading off up to Derbe and ending up at Ephesus. But Paul is getting a bit old at this time, but there was such a desire in his heart to carry the gospel to other places, to help and encourage, especially those who had already believed. So he couldn't be content to stay at home in Antioch. He headed off again. So he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Pythagora in order to strengthen all the disciples that he's met on a previous journey. In verse 23, have this interesting account or story of Apollos, which comes in here and is an explanation to what is recorded afterwards in chapter 19. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. An eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, he came along to Ephesus, we're told. As we know that he was told that he was born in Alexandria. Alexandria in Egypt at that time was one of the great cities of the ancient world and had a very large Jewish population, a result of dispersion, and Jewish people for various reasons were pursued and hunted out. Apollos here is described as an eloquent man. What does that mean, an eloquent man? I looked it up in a dictionary and it says forceful, fluent in speech. Fluent in speech. And I'm reliably informed that that God doesn't have very many eloquent men. However, it's just here and there that he lays his hand upon a man who can speak, so to stir the hearts of men. Maybe you've come across them, I suppose. In our history, we've had people like recent history, Billy Graham, something like that. I know that way back, many, many years ago, I went along to the Melbourne Cricket Ground and Billy Graham was speaking. It was about 120,000 people. It was an incredible experience. And I was impressed with the way he spoke. But I must confess that the Lord didn't stir my heart enough to commit my life at that stage. But there are men that are like Apollos. He was evidently a person like that. He knew the word, that is, he was familiar with the Old Testament. Remember the scripture that was in the hands of the early Christians was the Old Testament books. They didn't get to have the books of the New Testament, of course. And Apollos had studied the Old Testament and he knew it well. He knew the promises and the prophecies. I suppose he knew something of the types and the shadows. And he was looking for the full revelation of Israel's promised Messiah. He had heard John the Baptist preach, and it appears he'd been baptized by him sometime earlier. Verse 25 tells us Apollos was fervent in the spirit. Usually that word fervent means boiling hot. Have you ever come across a Christian that's boiling hot? And it's an exciting time, isn't it? To be a Christian that's boiling hot. A couple of weeks ago, we went to my grandson's baptism up in Sydney, and I was in the Sydney Harbour. It was a wonderful time. Three young people out in the Sydney Harbour, and not right out, but they were out a bit, and. But to hear their testimonies, and it was a real joy. I suppose they were boiling hot. They were fervent anyway. I remember somewhere in scripture, I couldn't find it, but chapter, where the apostle says we are not to be slothful in business and fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Well, this man Apollos was firm in the spirit, and he taught diligently the things of the Lord. But he had this limitation, knowing only the baptism of John. So Apollos, being fervent in the spirit, he started out to visit the Jews and the dispersion in different places to carry to them the message that John the Baptist preached, calling upon men to be baptized in repentance, looking forward to the coming Messiah. Apollos obviously felt that if the Messiah was so near to coming, it's been mentioned to me this morning, that we consider today the things around us that the coming of the Lord is near. So Apollos thought that at the time. He had to go to the Jews in the dispersion, as well as the people in Palestine. They should all hear this message that he had to repent. Now, a good many years had gone by, I believe, from when Apollos was baptized, and he'd returned home, but now he's returning. And one thing, he didn't know the Messiah had come. We shouldn't be surprised that this man, going about what we call the dispersion, that's the scattered Jews living out among the Gentiles, he had not learned that the Messiah had come, not only appeared but had been crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended to God's right hand. You see, they didn't have TV, they didn't have the current news at the time, so things just hadn't got around to where Apollos had been. It came to mind that I've heard stories of after the Second World War, Japanese soldiers in the islands, and some of them stayed in those jungle areas quite a long time after the war had finished, and they were unaware of it, oblivious to it. Anyway, Apollos went out preaching John the Baptist through preaching repentance for the remission of sin. At times he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. In the city of Ephesus, Paul had two good friends, Aquila and Priscilla, were now living there. They'd shifted from Corinth. Remember these two? They were tent makers, and Paul worked with them in Corinth. So they were now living in Ephesus. And when they heard of this eloquent preacher, Apollos, who was giving out the word of God in the synagogue, they got excited and went along to hear him. We can imagine what they said and thought as they walked back home after the meeting. Probably something like this. It's a wonderful, everything that he said is true. But the fact is, he doesn't go far enough. And that's a phrase that I've heard many times. Maybe we've heard a speaker, maybe read to Belgrade or something like that. After the message, that was good. Not being going far enough. Well, this is the thing that concerned Aquila and Priscilla. He's telling the people to get ready for the coming Messiah. Of course, evidently he doesn't know this, but the Messiah had already come. As we said, he died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, and that the Holy Spirit has come down from heaven to baptize all believers into one body, to bring in the blessing and glorious truth of a new creation. A new creation in which all saints on earth are united by the Spirit of the glorious King of Heaven. Knowing this, Aquila and Priscilla decided they must try and help this man. You'll notice that they didn't go to him being very critical or anything like that. I think sometimes we hear somebody give out a measure of truth and we go at these people and a little harsh and kindly way. May find fault with them, we frighten them off. Instead, we need to pray for them. We Christians who love the Lord Jesus, who believe in the inspiration of the Holy Word, we need to pray for our spiritual, the Spirit of grace. There's no need to cultivate the love and wisdom that characterized the blessed Lord Jesus. We sometimes meet people who have come just so far in their walk, and we can find fault with these because they didn't seem to see more clearly. We forget that they may not have been instructed, they may not be fed. Now it may seem arrogant, I suppose, but if we know the truth, we should pray for them. Try in a gracious and kindly way to get to them with the truth of God, either by speaking to them personally or by putting into their hands some solid literature or contact with some good teachers. There's many of them around now, and we keep passing it on to people, and people passing it on to us. Sister Jessica is very good at that, and we keep hearing some good teachers. Priscilla and Aquila, they were wise. They didn't find fault with Apollos. I'd like to think that they went up to him after the meeting and said, "Brother Apollos, we certainly enjoyed your message, but this morning we'd love to have you come home and have dinner with us." That's the sort of action I think we should take. It seems that Apollos thought the same thing, and he agreed to go along. So they took him home, and after dinner they expounded to him the way of the Lord more perfectly, probably saying something. "Did you enjoy your message? But didn't you know that, or haven't you heard that the Messiah has come? That he was crucified and raised again?" Hearing that sort of message, you can imagine Apollos' reaction. I'm sure he would have asked for proof of the revelation. Then they would begin to tell him of all the wonderful things they had received through the Apostle Paul and other Christians. As they opened up the Word, I'm certain Apollos would have drunk it all in. He was certainly grateful for those friends who so graciously and so kindly took him for the home and taught him. And as he learned these things, he felt, well, I'm not fit to preach here, but if I could get to a Christian assembly somewhere, and maybe I could learn more and then go and share in those areas. So he decided to move on. Went out into areas further afield. And he had a letter with him from the people in Ephesus, recommending him to them wherever he went, and asking them to help him. He got there. And I'm certain they did, and I know that Apollos grew in his knowledge and faith. Actually, he ended up, and told them, know that, that he became a bishop. But his reputation as a preacher and that he was well used by God. Well, that part of the scripture that we read about Apollos finishes there. So he's moved on from Ephesus. Now Paul, in his third missionary trip, he ends up coming to Ephesus after Apollo left. Chapter 19, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Notice that it says, finding certain disciples. It doesn't say that he found certain Christians. As we go on, it's easy to see from that passage who these disciples were. They were Jewish disciples who had been introduced by Apollos. Remember, he'd been preaching in the synagogue, chapter 23, verse 26, preaching the baptism of John, giving them all that he knew. When Paul arrived, Apollos had moved on, and as Paul is here in that area, and his friends Aquila and Priscilla no doubt asked him to come and preach to the people in the synagogue. And of course, Paul was ready to communicate to others what God had made precious in his soul. He went along. Now Paul wants to help them, and beginning by putting a question to them as soon as he gets to meet them. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, when you listened to Apollos and heard his message about becoming Christ and you believed it, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Not a question you put to a Christian. Question put to disciples in what you call it, the halfway house, halfway between Judaism and Christianity, disciples of John. And they said, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit, because that doesn't seem to be true. Of course, even as Jews, they had heard of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist had said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to untie. He shall baptize with the Holy Ghost, with fire. And of course, Apollos had told them that. Not so much heard whether the Holy Spirit has come and is right. Paul inquired unto what then were you baptized? So So in verse 2, chapter 9, the question to them was, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they replied, we didn't know he had come. Paul again asked them to, what then, what name were you baptized? Why do you ask that question? Our Lord Jesus, before he went away, gave his last commission to the apostles. Go and disciple the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That is the last commission of the risen Christ to his servants. They were to go out and carry this message everywhere in the world and baptize the converts in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now these people had been baptized. Paul says, in whose name were you baptized? If they had received the Christian baptism, they would have known that the Holy Spirit had come. They were to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But they answered, we were baptized into John's baptism. It was different. That was a baptism in repentance, preparatory baptism, looking forward to the coming of the King. Christian baptism looks back to his coming to die, looks up to the throne where he now sits at the Father's right hand, and on towards the end of the dispensation, when he will come again. When the people heard this, and when Paul certainly unfolded the truth concerning the Lord Jesus, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and were brought into the body of Christ. Now these verses are greatly discussed in Christian circles. I don't want to go into it today. I'll leave that to Brother Kirby or Andrew or Matt later on. However, Paul was looking for signs of them having received the Spirit. Maybe if we read John 16:13-14, that would suffice if they had that. And it goes, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Wonderful summary of what the Holy Spirit does in the person, in the lives of people who are truly born again. So I've looked at a few verses there. As I said earlier, there were these people that were mentioned there. There was Paul. Why did he go out? What was his reason for that third missionary trip? What did he accomplish in it? There was Apollos. He's a man that God seems to have given a great gift. How did he use that gift? Was there a problem the way he used that gift? There was Aquila and Priscilla. They were very much part of correction and teaching. So that's how they were used. What about those sorts of things in our lives? Paul, his enthusiasm to determination to go and spread the word. Apollos, using the gift that God had given him, we have a gift, we all have gifts. Do we use it correctly? Do we need guidance and correction in our ministry, in our walk? And certainly, Aquila and Priscilla, the example of their love, something that we need to exhibit to others around us, particularly other saints who may be having a tough time. So, thank God that I know that there's been lessons for me to learn here, and I trust that you too may look at Scripture again and find a lot more in there than we've already covered today. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for what you